Okay, the shiur is being sponsored for Lulunishmas Rabban. What's Rabban ben Rabbi Yosef Doiv by Reb Naftali, Lulunishmas' brother? You're okay. Okay, Rabbi said last week we were trying to get clarity in the concept of ispashtas. Primarily, our main discussion, we spoke about a lot of pratim in the Gemara, but the main discussion that we were handling with is the concept of ispashtas as svara. Is it a svara that you should say ispashtas? Or is it only a pasuk that's required to say ispashtas? And the Gemara itself seems to go back and forth, because the Gemara brings a pasuk for it, to tell you that the opinion who doesn't hold of his pashtas has a mute, right? That's how the Gemara started. The Gemara said, on which the Gemara said, that was the top of the Gemara. Clearly the Gemara's mashma, logically we would say his pashtas. The Gemara then brings a pasuk that says not. Then the Gemara says, well, if not, maybe it should become totally chulin. The Gemara says, no, whatever you were makdish is kodesh. But then when the Gemara flips itself on the other opinion, and the Gemara asks, why does the opinion hold his pashtas? The Gemara brings up pasuk. Minayin lo miraglish is oyla kula yoyla. Shenem akosha yitim enu Hashem. So it sounds like the one who holds of his pashtas needs a pasuk. The beginning of the Gemara seems to hold, the one who doesn't hold of his pashtas needs a pasuk to tell you that it doesn't spread. Logically, we would say it does spread. And the Gemara seems to say the other opinion, who doesn't hold of his pashtas, who does hold of his pashtas, needs a pasuk to say that it does spread. Seems to be a steerer. The Brisker Rav actually learns one is based on the other. In other words, since we have these two psukim, so the opinion who doesn't hold of his pashtas, right, needs to have a raya that not to say his pashtas. And the one who does, it's only because we have the two psukim. But the Brisker Rav does not explain why do we have the two psukim for. If in fact the logic is not to say his pashtas, why do we have a pasuk at all? What do we need a pasuk to tell me not to say it? And if the svara is yes to say his pashtas, why do I have a pasuk that implies that we don't say his pashtas, and therefore does work? Now, like this, the opinion who doesn't hold of his pashtas is Nishke Frelach, because he needs the pasuk to tell you that there is kedusha, there is some kedusha that's chal on the leg. He needs it. He holds the leg is kaddish. So once we have that pasuk that the leg is kaddish, you would think we say his pashtas. That's why he needs the other pasuk. So that opinion works. But the opinion who always holds of his pashtas, we shouldn't have any psukim. If the logic is that we would say his pashtas, that's the logic. So why do we have a pasuk that implies not, and then a pasuk that implies yes? That definitely needs clarity. The opinion who does not hold of his pashtas is not keferlach, because he needs a pasuk to tell you at least that locally the kedusha is chal on the leg, right? And once we had a pasuk that implied that, you may think when it says kodesh that the whole thing is kodesh. So we have the other pasuk to say not. So that's really that the Brisker Rav does not clarify. He just says that it's an outcome. Since we have this pasuk, we need that pasuk, and since we have that pasuk, we need this pasuk. But why, in fact, the opinion who holds you always say his pashtas, right? You always say his pashtas. Why does he have, just keep quiet? And this pashtas will be a svara. Now, in fact, we had the Gemara that says that Rav Yehuda, who doesn't hold of his pashtas, is moide in a case where Yamakdash and Aver Shanashoma Teluyeva, which either we said means an eva that would make it into an avela, or an eva that would make it into a trefa. If you would be makdish a major organ, then the whole thing would be kodesh, even according to Rav Yehuda. We had a machloikis in the Rishonim Is that logical? Or is that based on the pasuk? So, the Shita Mekubetzes that we read last week, Ois Katan Hay, says, Shana Shama Tluya Boy, Gilyon, Oy Me Kro, Oy Mislara. Either it would be from a pasuk, or it would be logical. So it seems our whole question of whether hispashtus is a logical concept or it's a pasuk-based concept seems to be the two ways of the Shita Mekubetzes here. One way he says it's logical, and one way he says it's a pasuk. That seems to be the two. It seems to be the discussion in the Shita Mekubetzes. I mean, he doesn't elaborate, but those couple of words of the Shita Mekubetzes seem to be the main akuda in the Gemara. An additional machloikas rishonim that we were dealing last week was the machloikas rishonim how to learn the opinion who doesn't hold of hispashtus. How limited is the kedusha on that leg? So we had Rashi's opinion. Rashi's opinion is that the leg itself has kedusha seguf, and that's how Rashi said the Gemara. Yeah, kodesh, hahu ever. The kivon da hahu ever havi kodesh. Rashi says suloi motzi lemishchat ahi behemel l'shem chulin. Eloti moker kulo chutz midmei also ever shaba. That's what he says. So Rashi learns that even the opinion who does not hold of his pashtus holds that leg has complete kedusha that could never be removed. It's kedusha is a goof. The only way that leg will lose its kedusha, if the whole animal gets a mum, you could redeem it like any kedusha is a goof. But that leg is solidified. The kedusha on that leg is solidified. It could never be removed. And we had the Meiri in kedusha, that the Meiri and others who learned like the Meiri, we had Rabbeinu Gershon, who hold that the kedusha of that leg actually is removable. And we said, according to that, why does our Gemara debate what does the guy who bought it from you do? The Gemara asks, the guy who bought it from you only bought an animal which is 90% chulin, but 10% oila. So when he goes now and brings an oila, he's only bringing a 90% oila. He's not bringing 100% oila. He's bringing 90% your oila, 10% oil, 90% his oila, 10% your oila. And the Gemara's only solution was that guy wasn't makabel to bring 100% oila. If he, Taka, was makabel himself 100% oila, he wouldn't be able to bring this oila, because this oila is missing a percentage of it being his oila, because the leg is an oila from Chaim. So Beryl can't bring this oila as 100% Beryl's oila, because he's really bringing 90% Beryl's oila and 10% Chaim's oila. That Chaim made the leg kodesh. So clearly the Gemara flows like Rashi Shita. That's klar. The Gemara seems to be saying it's not removable. So we have to get back to try to understand. The Meiri himself notes in Kiddushin, on Dav Zayin, the Meiri notes, and he says, by the way, the Gemara is a little difficult to wait if you don't learn like Rashi, because what was the Gemara's problem? But he doesn't actually say what the Pshat in the Gemara would be, according to that opinion. But he says that the Gemara in Tmura doesn't really flow well that way, if you learn that. Okay. Now, on the outside, we had a raya from the Sugyan Kiddushin, from the simple reading of the Gemara, that hispashtus is a svara. It is logical to say hispashtus. And that is by the fact that the Gemara applies the concept of hispashtus also to a woman, to an isha. That, we said, is a strong raya that hispashtus is logical. Because if hispashtus would not be logical, how could the Gemara say such a thing in Kiddushin? Actually, we had a sheet of Tosfos. Tosfos in Kiddushin asks it for a question. He says, I don't understand what the Gemara means here. Well, hispashtus is only by kabbonis. And Tosfos actually learns that hispashtus would only work by Kiddushin according to the Havamin of the Gemara if you use the Lashon Kiddushin. If you said, Arei at mekudeshes li, it's a way of you saying, I want this to work with the Kodshim Halacha. That's what the Tosfos. Now, we're not learning Kiddusha now. If we were, we would spend hours and hours to try to understand what Tosfos means. Because at first glance, if the fact that you use the word Kiddusha means that you want her to be totally Mekudeshes, so what's the problem? So it should taka work. The Gemara there says, no, you can't say Hispashtus. Because Hispashtus only works by an animal. Because the animal doesn't have a right to decide that it shouldn't be mispashet. When you go over to an oiler, say, okay, I want the leg to be an oiler. The animal doesn't have a right to go, okay, the leg is an oiler, but the rest of me I'd like to remain chum. The animal doesn't have that right. So the Gemara says, in the absence of objections, hispashtus happens. That's what the Gemara says in Kiddush. But if in fact hispashtus doesn't work by Kiddush anyway, and the only reason why we're entertaining hispashtus is because the fact that you use the word kiddushin means you want to be mekadosh the whole woman, and she accepts it, what's the problem? If it doesn't mean the whole woman, and it's working with the lumdus of spreading, then I understand what the Gemara means. You will mekadosh one leg of this woman, or you will mekadosh half this woman, and now automatically it's going to spread. So on that the Gemara says, 1 second. It's not automatic. She doesn't want. She can object to that. But the way Tosfos is learning, that because you use the word Kiddushin, you've shown, when you gave the money to her, that you want her to be completely Mekudeshes. And she accepted it. What's the problem? What's the objection? There's no objection. So Tosfos is very difficult. Tosfos' pshat is very difficult. That's why it's most logical to learn like the Ritva, who says that his pashtus is a logical concept, at least when you makdish half an avish on shemot liyibo, and therefore logically it spreads. And since logically it spreads, so therefore it should work by an isha too. That's what seems to be working. The problem we have with all of this is that our Gemara then went on to say, boy rova, ba'oif mahu, what about by a bird? Is there a concept of hispashtus by a bird? Because since the posuk of hispashtus is by a behemoth, not by a bird, so maybe by a bird there is no hispashtus. That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, behemoth rachmona v'haylav behemoth. It's not a behemoth. Oiduma korban rachmona v'haynami korbanu. Take. So here the Gemara seems to be black and white, that it's not logical. If it would be logical, why would a bird be different? In Kiddushin, we're from the Wild West. We took a concept from Tmura, and we brought it to Meseches Kiddushin. And in Meseches Tmura, we're briskers. In Meseches Tmura, well, it's a din behema, or if not. It sounds like it's to the Gemara in Kiddushin. It's pashtus. The Gemara is being mispashit, mispashtus. And the Gemara over here is so medactic. So that alone seems to be a proof. Our Gemara seems to be going with the Mahalach that hispashtus is a pasuk. And maybe the Torah limited it only to a behemah. And even according to the Maskana, even if you would say that a bird does have hispashtus, we would still have a problem. Because a bird is still a carbon. The fact that the Gemara could even analyze this means that his pashtus is limited. The fact that this is even on the table, that maybe by a bird we won't say his pashtus, shows you that his pashtus is limited. Even if the maskana would be, which there isn't the maskana, but even the maskana would be that by a bird there is his pashtus, the fact that the Gemara is debating shows you that it's limited to kodshim. The only shaila of the Gemara is maybe a bird, it's also a carbon. So even though it's not a behemah, it's still a korban. That's how the Gemara reads. If oiduma korban am rachmana, the Gemara has no tzad to say that you should say hispashtus generally as a svara on its own. It's only because korban. So why does the Gemara in Kiddushin say that hispashtus would work by a woman? And as we said when we started the sugya several weeks ago, the Sfas Emes really asked this question at the beginning of the sugya. He says, I don't understand why why in Kiddushin the Gemara feels that Hispashtus is a logical thing, and here the Gemara is so medactic, when you say it, when you don't say it, how you say it. Okay. Just do this last piece of Gemara here, just to come to a conclusion. The Gemara says, Poi Rava, Hikdish Eiver Ludomov. If you were Makdish a limb, but you weren't Makdish a limb, some have the Girsa Rabbah here. You were Makdish a limb, not with Kedushas Haguf, just with Kedushas Domo. The Gemara says, what's the halacha? Mau de Techas Le Kedushas Haguf. Mi Amrinon, Kivan de Nochsala Kedushas Domim, Nochsala Ami Kedushas Haguf. Umid Akdashay Lachara Ever, Akdashay Lakulu. Do we say, hey, you have to come on to two migus. Here you have to say, number one, you're going to make a migu from one level kedusha to a second level kedusha, and you're also going to make it spread. If you look at Rashi says, Hikdish Eivir Ladomov, the first wide line on the bottom of the daf in Rashi, Mao de Teches. So Rashi says like this, Kedushas Haguf L'chol HaBehem. Mi Omar L'Rab Yosi, do we say that according to Rabbi Yosi? First of all, why did Rashi put in Rabbi Yosi? This Gemara Shaila could have been according to Rabbi Yehuda too. If you're Makdash and Eva Shan Shamat Luyaba, this could have been even according to Rabbi Yehuda. For some reason he didn't say that. Poshto Kedusha L'Kulo Behem L'Domeho. Do we say you Makdash one Eva? So the whole animal gets Kedusha's Domeh. And then umigu the nachsala kedushas domim lekula beheima nachsa kedushas aguf. So Rashi flips it. Rashi doesn't learn that this one aver will get kedushas aguf, and then it will spread. Instead, Rashi says it will spread, and then there'll be kedushas aguf. Kedushas domim will spread, and then there'll be kedushas aguf. So Rashi now said something which is really amazing. The first point of Rashi is debatable. Why does Rashi say that the Shaila of the Gemara here is only according to Rabbi Yosi, when in fact we could have learned the Gemara is going according also to Rabbi Yehuda, and we're talking about an Aver, a major limb, a major Aver. For some reason, Rashi shied away from learning the Gemara that way, which as the Rambam that I asked all of you to look up, you'll notice that the Rambam does bring down this Gemara Shaila. If somebody is Makdish and Aver Ladomov, the Rambam analyzes what will be the halacha with the rest of the animal. This question of the Gemara. Now the Rambam obviously doesn't hold like Rashi, because the Rambam doesn't hold of his pashtus. He only holds of his pashtus by a major limb. So the Rambam is obviously learning our Gemara, is going not only according to Rabbi Yosi, but it's going also according to Rav Yehuda. Even though Rav Yehuda does not hold of his pashtus, Rav Yehuda does hold of his pashtus by Avish and Shamat Luyabo. So the Rambam is obviously not learning like Rashi. Rashi's Akdoma. Rashi's whole Akdoma to the Sugya is that Rashi's saying this is going like Rav Yosi, not like Rav Yehuda. And according to the Rambam, this is going like everybody, because the Rambam himself doesn't hold like Rav Yosi. And he still brings down this Shaila. So it's obvious that the Rambam disagrees with Rashi. But besides for that, Rashi switched the Gemara around. Instead of learning that we're talking about a case here where the first, what's going to happen is first it's going to get Kedushas Haguf, and then it's going to spread, Rashi flipped it. And that is very difficult. Very difficult. Because if you look in the Gemara in Erechim, basically, it would come out according to Rashi that if you hold of Hispashtus, potentially, you could never be Makdish a limb for Berek Abayis. According to this Rashi, it would never be possible for one to be Makdish a limb for Berek Abayis. It will never happen. Because according to Rashi, not only is there a concept of Hispashtus by Kedushas Haguf, there's a concept of Hispashtus by Kedushas Domim. Right? So according to Rashi, when you're Makdish a limb, it could then spread, even if it's only Kedushas Damim. So you really, you will never have a case, according to Rashi, where you makdish a limb, and that's all you makdish. It's always going to be, you makdish a limb, and then it spreads. Even if it's Kedushas Damim. See, without Rashi, we would say, no. Normally, if you makdish a limb, it's only Kedushas Damim. It stays local. It's only the limb. But Rashi, when do we say that the leg would spread? That's only if it's Kedushas Haguf. Then it spreads. Kedushas Damim doesn't spread. And that would be the logical way of learning. But Rashi now is learning not like that. Rashi's learning the mechanics of the Gemara here is, you makdish the limb. The first thing is, the Kedusha spreads through the whole animal. Now it's Kedusha's done in the whole animal. And now Rashi says, do we say a second Migudah? But the Brisker Rav says, according to Rashi, he doesn't even know what the Gemara means when it says two Migudahs we don't say. What do you mean you don't say? You don't have to say two. First, the whole animal gets Kedusha. Now that Migudah is gone. You don't still need to use that Migudah anymore. That migu is gone. The migu is not, you're not constantly, you know, the famous story of Rav Elchanan Wasserman, when he was a young man, he went to the Ragachev Gaon. And the Ragachev Gaon used to speak to Lamdonim all day. Rav Elchanan came in, he didn't know Rav Elchanan. Rav Elchanan told him, Shtikl Torah. He said, what's Shtikl Torah? Rav Elchanan told him, Rav Elchanan has a famous concept in migu. If migu is an emunus, a migu is a koyach hataina. Whenever you have a migu, is an actual, is like a biru, does it clarify? Or it's just the strength you have that you could use a migu? They say, the story goes that some 20-somewhat years later, he went again to the Ragachev. He didn't see him all those years. And the Ragachev looks at him. He says, tell me Shtikl Torah. So he said over the same thing, migu. So Ragachev looks at him and goes, Yingaman, in 25 years you weren't machadish anything? The same migu from 25 years, the same migu. The Maisa, the Yuntish, the Shura, is that the migu, the way Rashi is learning, you don't really need two migus. Because first the Kedushas Damim spreads. Now you don't need that migu anymore. Why do you need that migu? Throw that migu out. The migu is not constantly here. The migu did its job. Once the limb got kedusha, the whole animal got kedusha. Okay, now it's kedusha's damim here. What's that? Migu kedusha? It's kedusha. The whole animal is kedusha. Some kind of a stigma. This animal has a stigma on it. It has a sign on its head. I got my kedusha through migu. What's the problem? That's the Briskerov's question. Rashi's saying, you went over to the limb, you said, okay, this limb should just have its money to hekdish. So Rashi says, what happens is, the whole animal becomes kedusha. Right? No, Kedushas Damim, according to Rashi. Then, we have a question, will it also get Kedushas Haguf? The Gemara says, 1 second. You can only say one migu, not two migus. Maybe. So he's, that's how Rashi read it. Rashi says the Kedushas Damim spreads. Look at Rashi. But he doesn't say that. After Sheikhalei Velodam of and then Umigu nachsala kedushas damim l'kulu behema. He doesn't say migu de nachsa kedushas aguf. See, Yidl, you're learning like the Brisker Rav, but the problem I had was that Rashi doesn't read that way. So the problem is, why would we say not? Because this animal got its kedusha from a migu, okay, but now it's not a whole animal. Now you're dealing with a whole animal that has kedushas damim. What's the problem? No, now to say kedushas aguf, we're coming onto two migus. The other migu's gone. The migu's finished. Now it's a new migu. What's the problem? It's one migu. So the Brisker Rav learns like Yidl wanted to say. He learns that what Rashi means is, we will never say the first migu only because there's a Kedushas Haguf. So really what it means is that since at the end of the day there's going to be a Kedushas Haguf, so right now we'll make a Hispashtus on the Kedushas Damim. Basically, we're making the money spread to facilitate the Kedushas Haguf. That's how the Brisker was learning, but it's not Meduyik and Rashi. Because Rashi says first they'll spread the money, And then he says, "Umigu dechayla alei kedushas mamon." Once there's mamon, says Rashi, then nachsalei kedushas haguf. Rashi should really say faker, because there's going to be a kedushas haguf. That's why there's a kedushas mamon. Rashi doesn't read that way. Okay, but the bigger problem on Rashi is not these issues that we're discussing. It's that it's a direct contradiction with the Gemara, because the Gemara says in Erechin that we don't say hispashtus by kedushas damim. The Gemara says in Erechin as follows: Boi Ravo, the same shail as we have over here, hikdish ever l'dam of mahu, daf hey amin aleph in meseches Erechin, and the Gemara says as follows: Boi Ravo, the mei roishi l'gabim mizbeach mahu. And then he says, the Gemara says, what about hispashtus? The Gemara says, no. The Gemara says that when do we say loy kasha? Ho b'kedushas aguf, ho b'kedushas domim. This says Rashi. Ho diktoni post the kedushim b'kulu, ke going to akdush or kedushas aguf. Then there's a concept of spreading. If you say, this head of this animal I'll bring for an oila, then there's his pashtus. He says, the ha, the aim of kachim is bechel roish shalpara, the akta shaludomim, the omar roish behemazu alai ludmeoil. Kedusha's domim doesn't spread. So here, black and white, says Kedusha's Damim doesn't spread. And here Rashi says that Kedusha's Damim does spread. So that's not a contradiction. The Gemara here in Erechin seems to say clearly that we don't say Hispashtus by Damim. And by the way, there's a very good reason why not. Because the way Reb Chaim gives a phenomenal explanation in the difference between Kedusha's Haguf and Kedusha's Damim. He says that Kedushas Aguf and Kedushas Damim are working on two total different channels. Kedushas Aguf, the Kedusha comes first, and the monetary comes second. Meaning, when you take an animal, you say, okay, this animal is going to be an oiler, right? So he says, the first thing that happens to this animal is it gets sanctified as an oiler. Yeah? Now, once it's an oiler, Hekdush has monetary rights to this animal. The monetary is only following the Kedusha that's here. He says Kedusha's Damim is the opposite. Kedusha's Damim means you're making a donation. You're giving money to Hekdush. That's the transaction. It's a monetary transaction. Then, after you give the money over to Hekdush, so as a secondary action, it gets holiness. Because something that Hekdush owns has Kedusha. So it's really, Kedushas Aguf and Kedushas Damim were completely different. And from a transaction standpoint, you're coming from a total different angle. By Kedushas Damim, you're making a donation. You're writing out a check. You're giving a donation to Hekdush. Happens to be that the bank policy, the bank account policy of Hekdush is that it turns into Kedush. So now the fact that this money was transferred, was titled to Hekdush, now it gets Kedusha. By Kedusha's Aguf, it's the opposite. I didn't put anything into Hekdush's account. I made something holy. I made something into an oiler. Now the halacha is that an oiler belongs to Hekdush. So it's totally different angles. So it makes a lot of sense to say that the concept of spreading, right, is an objective thing. When you make something should have Kedusha objectively, it makes sense that that's where the concept of spreading happens. But if it's monetary, then it makes sense it shouldn't spread. What's spreading? I'm giving $100 donation to Hekdush. The leg of this animal, which is worth $100, I'm making a donation. That's the whole thing, making $100 donation. What should it spread? There's nothing to spread. That makes sense. And that's the pshat in the Gemara in Erechin. The Gemara in Erechin says the whole concept of spreading is only something which is inherently kaddish, could spread. Something which is not inherently kaddish doesn't spread. It's very logical. But then it raises the issue. What does Rashi mean in our sugya? So, I think in order to get to some understanding here, we have to basically establish of what would be the logical reason to say espashtus. What is behind espashtus? Where does it come from? So, from the few in the Rishonim that actually says a sprinkle of a svara, most of the Rishonim don't tell us any svara about espashtus. They just, like I showed you in the Shita Mekubetz, it's an hour sugya. One word. Oy mikra, oy misvara. Doesn't say what the svara is. The first one in the Rishonim to say a little bit of a svara is Rabbeinu Gershon. Rabbeinu Gershon in Erechin, in that sugya of espashtus, says as follows. He says that if you makadosh kedusha seguf, listen to this lashon. Poshto kedusha bekulu. Right? But he doesn't end there. That's where most of the Rishonim end. Most of the Rishonim say, if you makadosh a major limb, a head, a heart, whatever it is, it spreads. That's how most of the Rishonim end. He adds a couple of words. He says, why? De'i efshar lishchoit harosh l'shem oila. You can't shecht the head for an oila. The haguf l'shem chula. He says, ideally, if somebody is makdish the head for oila, ideally we would say, bring the animal to Azara, shecht it. The body, have a good time with. Take the goof of the behem and eat it. The head, be makra. He says, but you can't do that. Because that's chulun b'azora. And that's why if you notice the whole last couple lines of our sugya to the Mishnah talks about this shayla. If you makdish the animal and you're not makdish the vlad, are you allowed to shecht it in the azora? How does that come into our sugya? According to Rabbeinu Gershon, that's the whole flaw. Rabbeinu Gershon basically is saying, his spashtus is something which happens by default. It's default. The default is that when you go over to an animal, you say, I want to be makdish the head, right? For the mizbeach. So really, you're being makdish the head. That's all. Why do we say his spashtus? Because there is no choice. Because you try to do something which cannot materialize in the olam ha'maaseh. Just like if you said anything, you said, I want to be makriv an animal, right? I want to makdish an oila, and I'd like to bring it on space. So we would tell you, sorry. You makdish an oila, very nice, you got kedushas oila. But there's a halacha that an oila has to be brought in the base of Mikdash. But you say, but I said space. I understand, you said space, but the Torah said not like that. The Torah said, what's that? The Torah said base of Mikdash. He doesn't talk about that. I'm just saying you didn't do that. You didn't do that. If you did that, then there's a whole different thing. There's cases in the Gemara where we say, Hareza Oilo Shlomim. There's a Shaila if the first Lashon is the Iker, if the last Lashon is the Iker. Are they both an Iker? Exactly. That's a different Machlaikas. But here you didn't do that. Here you said, I want the body to be Chul. I'm Makdish the head. So Rabbeinu Gershon says, that the reason why there is espashtus, the first reason to say it, but I think that this Rabbeinu Gershon is invaluable as far as having an understanding in the sugya. He says, the reason why espashtus happens is because there is no choice. Because you can't bring the head for an oila. If you would be able to, he says, there wouldn't be espashtus. Pasta Kedusha Bekulu, the efshar lishchay tarosh l'shem oila v'haguf l'shem chulin the ha'ein sheichten chulin ba'azara. And if there wouldn't be aloch of ein sheichten chulin ba'azara, then you would shech the animal, bring makriv the oila, and the guf of the behemi, you'd say, okay, it's chul. Okay, you're asking a very good kasha. According to Rabbeinu Gershon, let's not forget, this Rabbeinu Gershon is explaining why we say espashtus by an Eiver Shahaneshama Teluyavo. But according to Rabbeinu Gershon's logic, you should say it even by an Eivah She'en HaNeshama Tluya Bah. That's great. First of all, Rabbi Yossi holds like that. But you're asking according to Rabbi Yehuda. And you're asking Gevaldik Akasha. According to Rabbeinu Gershon's line of reasoning, right, that what we're left with is a head that has a Kedusha Gedoyla. The body, really, we're left with a body of Chul. But we have no choice. We have no choice because you can't shech the head and if the body is Chul. So we can't shech the head if the leg is Chul either. Right? So what did we say till now? We said, what do? You sell the animal. You sell the animal to somebody who needs an oiler. Right? You sell the animal to somebody who needs an oiler. Minus a leg. Well, let's do the same thing now. Let's sell the animal. Either that's a solution or it's not. If that's a good solution, so do that now too. Sell it for an oiler to somebody who doesn't need a head. There's a lot of people on that cup. Sell it on that cup. What's the problem? The pellet. That's a great kashi. That's significant to understand what's going on here. But that, clearly that's what Rabbeinu Gershon is saying. Rabbeinu Gershon is saying that his spashtus is a svara. That's number one. And he's saying the svara is that you tried to do something which is impossible. I think that this one line in Rabbeinu Gershon takes care of all the kashas that they have in Kiddushin. What does the Gemara mean? That whole sugya in Kiddushin, a whole difficult sugya in Kiddushin. This one line in Rabbeinu Gershon answers all the kashas. But anyway, this is what Rabbeinu Gershon says here in Erech. So the question is a good question. What do you do with the leg? So it's obvious from Rabbeinu Gershon that there's a difference between a guy who says, I want to be makdish a leg for an oiler, and a guy who says, I want to be makdish a head for an oiler. There is a difference. What is the difference? He doesn't say, but there's obviously, that's the unspoken svar. There's an unspoken svar. I think that the pshat is very simple, in Rabbeinu Gershon at least. Rabbeinu Gershon is saying like this. He's saying, we have to know what nether you made. Whenever a person makes a nether to bring a carbon, and this is critical for our sugya to understand, really you're making a two-phase nether. Whenever you make a nether, you say, I raise the oiler. You're really making two nedar. Okay? All I said was, I raise the oiler. So we know that there's a difference between saying, I raise zu and I raise a lie. Harei alai means that I'm taking responsibility. When you say harei zu, you're not taking responsibility. That's true. But even when you say harei zu, you are taking responsibility. The only thing is you're not taking abstract responsibility, you're taking only intrinsic responsibility. Which means, when I say harei ze oilo, it lies in my nether that I have to bring this for an oilo. Because otherwise, is there anything wrong with a guy saying, Hareze Oila, he takes the animal, puts it in his corral, locks the door, lets it stay there. Because I won't do it. I never said I'm going to bring it. I said, Hareze Oila. No. Part of saying Hareze Oila is you made yourself into a Baal Oila. You yourself got involved. And therefore, you have now a chiyuv to bring this for an Oila. And that's a condition in the carbon. You have an absolute. The only thing is, if something happens to the carbon, you're not a Baal carbon anymore. So now you can kiss it goodbye. But if you said, I ran a lie, not only did you accept an obligation to bring this oiler, you accepted in the abstract, you're going to bring a oiler. Something happens to this oiler, you have to bring another oiler. But even the mistake that people make that they don't realize is that even when you say, I ran zoo, it's also a form of I ran a lie. It's harei alai l'havi behemazu l'oila. It's just that if something happens to this one, I'm limiting. So harei zu is a limited harei alai. Harei alai is a limitless harei alai. Harei alai is I have to bring an oila no matter what. Harei zu is harei alai l'havi oila zu. And that's actually a condition in the carbon. You cannot bring a carbon without a mevi. I'll say a simple case. The Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf Yud Gimel that if you hold Shibuda Daraisa, if you hold that the obligation that one has automatically falls onto his property, and after he dies, it falls to whoever takes that property to pay it. The Gemara says if a woman dies, Isha Shemesa, She brought a carbon chatas. She had a child. She brought a carbon chatas. The Gemara says, Yaviu Yoshem Elosa. That's what the Gemara says. The Rambam, which means the Yoshem, since they yarshen the money, they have a chiv to bring the carbon oil. Because the money has an intrinsic obligation. The Rambam comes, Paskins like that Gemara, but in Hilchas Hakiga, he says if somebody dies and they didn't bring their oilus riyah, the Yoshim don't have to bring it unless they were mafresh. If they were mafresh, the oilus, and I got an oiler walking around, they got to bring it. But if the person wasn't mafresh, the oil, they don't have to bring it. So everybody yes on the Rambam, what do you mean? If you hold it, it's a shibud. And you yourself said that a woman that died, the Yoshim have to bring the carbon oil for her. So the way I explained the Rambam, very poshut, and it was also Miyashiv, the steer in the Yerushalmi, was that every carbon has these two halakim. One is the intrinsic kedusha, the animal, and the other chalak is the chiv that the bala carbon has, the owner of the carbon, to bring the carbon. It says vehebe. Once a person dies, that could never be brought back to life. The guy died, and let's say the guy said, I rail, I oil. Yeah? And he died, he could never bring the oil. I mean, it's Hashem, Tchias HaMesim. Now there's no way to bring the oil. So now, the monetary obligation doesn't fall on the Yorshim now to go be Makdash an animal, because they can't anyway do the behavior. They can't anyway facilitate the bringing of the carbon, which is part of the requirement of that nether, is to be mafresh the carbon and to bring it. They can't do that. So they don't have a chiv to go to the estate now and take money and say, this should be an oiler and we're going to bring it. Because they can't bring what he was supposed to bring. He has to bring it. There's only one carbon, one type of carbon, that you don't need a mevi. And that's mechusar kapara. The carbon that you bring after your tameh, a zav, a mitzayra, or your ledes, does not need a mevi. The Gemara says that even a cotton one day old, the father brings the carbon for the cotton. You don't need a mevi, because that carbon is not like a kapara. It's more like machsher. It makes you tahor. That carbon doesn't need a mevi. You could bring it for your wife. A person could bring it for a one-day-old child. So the Rambam is very poshut. The Rambam says, when do the Yorshim have a chiyuv to separate a carbon and bring it? Only a carbon that doesn't need a mevi, doesn't need somebody to bring it. That's why the Gemara in Kiddushin is talking about a woman that had a baby. That carbon that she brings is mechusar kapara. That doesn't need a mevi, doesn't need somebody to bring it. So there the Rambam says, we're just dealing with the monetary element. Okay, fell onto the Yorshim. Right? Whereas by oilus riyah, by other carbonates, there's the human element. And the human element you don't have. If the person died, he's not there. So the Yoshim don't have a chiv now to separate a carbon oiler. If there's a carbon oiler here, they give it to Hekdesh. They don't have a chiv to separate and to bring it, because there's no maybe. Every carbon works that way. When you say, I raise their oiler, you become an obligatory maybe. You have to bring that oiler. I raise their shlomim, you have now a chiv to bring that shlomim. So now I want to tell you very simple. When do we decide that you said harei alei oila or you didn't say harei alei oila? In a regular case, it's black and white. You went to an animal, you said harei alei oila. It's clear. You mean to be mechayev yourself to bring a carbon oila. It's very black and white. When you say harei alei, when you say harei regel zu oila, now we go 1 second. Doesn't sound like the guy wants to bring a carbon oil. Sounds like he's being mechayev that this leg should have kedusha of a carbon oil. Because most of the animal he's not making into an oil. So we cannot translate within his nether that he's saying, I'm going to bring an oil. He's not going to bring an oil. He just said the leg should be an oil. If he meant to bring an oil, he clearly didn't, it could cost him in a sefer. Right? But once the guy says, Harei Roish Behem Azuel. Lev Behem Azuel. Now he took a significant limb, which the animal cannot live without, and he said, I'm going to bring that for an oil. Now he was Machayev himself. Now already we say, this is not just a joke. He's saying that leg should. Now we have to facilitate that he should be a mevi. The only way to facilitate he should be a mevi is that the whole animal should get Kedusha. So basically, his pashtus facilitates his neder. His pashtus is a tool that's used to facilitate the neder that he made. He made a neder. Now we go, the Torah goes and facilitates, makes that neder into reality. Normally when you say Areza Oila, the translation of the words is, this has Kedushas Oila. In between the lines is, I'm going to bring it for an Oila. You didn't say you're going to bring it for an Oila, but that's how we teach. That's not we, the Torah. The Torah teaches that way. When you say Areza Oila, you're doing two things. You're saying, this should be an Oila, and you're saying, I'm going to bring it for an oil. Not only it should be, it should have kedusha of an oil. I'm going to bring it for an oil. If you say the leg should be an oil, so you're not saying, I'm going to bring it for an oil. Because that's not, the most of the animal you left out of the picture. So we're not going to say, well, you have a chiyuv to bring this animal for a carbon oil. That's in between the words. In between the words of saying the leg should be an oil doesn't say, well, I'm going to bring it for an oil. That's not what it means. It means the leg should be an oil. So what do? You find a customer who has a chiyuv to bring an oila and sell it to him. Because you clearly didn't say, I'm going to bring an oila by saying, I'm going to bring a leg. The leg should be kedusha. But if you said a significant aver, now we say, oh, this is more of a classic neder. You said, harezer, this heart should be an oila. This head should be, now you're saying, now you're talking significant language. Now we say, yes, your harei alai, your harezu, was inclusive that you're going to see to it should be brought for an oil. Now you got a problem. Now you got a problem. Because you said that you're going to make it into an oil. And part of making it into an oil is you're going to facilitate it to be brought on the Mizbeach. By a significant limb, that's a significant nether. By a significant nether, it's that you're going to bring it on the Mizbeach. But you can't bring it on the Mizbeach. The rest of the body is chulin. Oh, so to facilitate your nether, which had both elements, Kedushas Oila, and bringing for an Oila, we make his pashtus. No. He didn't mean. But he did mean that I want to bring for an Oila the head. Now you have an obligation. Now your nether has obligated you to bring the head for an Oila, which mechanically can't happen. Now the Torah says it's pashtus. But now that answers the question that was asked. Why, according to Rabbeinu Geshem, when you say a leg, that doesn't happen? Because when you say a leg, that's all you're saying. The leg should be an oil. I didn't get involved there. I didn't get involved. And that's what I'm saying, Pashas. Now, when you go to Kiddushin, it's mamish beautiful. The Gemara in Kiddushin is saying like this. When somebody is Makadosh a woman, and he says, half of you should be Makudashis to me. He's making a significant, he's taking on a significant responsibility. He's saying it. There's no way of him being married to half the woman. He's taking on the whole parasha. So Gemara says, so just like by kodshim we say that we facilitate that which you have done, if it's significant enough, we say that then we facilitate it, that it should be chal, let's do the same thing by kedushin. Let's do the same thing. You will makabel yourself to be a husband to half of her. That's not, that's a big, you said a lot, it's a mouthful. But it's not feasible. So what do we say when something is not feasible? Do we say, so therefore you didn't mean it to begin with? Or do we say, no, now your obligation obligates you to facilitate that obligation. And that we see from his pashtus by kachim, that once you did half, now it explains why the woman doesn't know what you mean. You yourself don't know what you mean when you say half. The Gemara is just saying, half should obligate you to the whole. The Gemara says, fine, you, but what about her? She only accepted half. So you can't make her obligated. But the Gemara now flows. With this Rabbeinu Gershon, the Gemara and Kiddushin flows. So that's, I think, now we can understand what's the logical element of his pashtus. Now we can understand what Ragla shows the oiler. The opinion of old Ragla shows the oiler holds the same lumdus. They just hold that in the pasuk that says that the regal becomes an oila, lies an obligation for you to bring it for an oila. That's the machloikas. The machloikas, whether you say it's pashtus or not, is the status of the leg. That's the machloikas. The machloikas is, on that leg, am I both, as the leg have kedushas oila, and also I am obligating myself to bring it for an oila, or is it just have kedushas oila? That's the machlokes. But by Avish and Shomot Luyah, they both agree that the status is I have to bring it for an oil. And Ispashtus is always facilitating your obligation. Always the same. All opinions. All the opinions hold. Ispashtus is facilitating your obligation. The opinion who says that even when you say Ragla Shel Zuoila holds that when you make a foot an oil, there's also an obligation to bring it for an oil. And therefore, since you can't bring a foot an oil, and you were mechayev yourself to bring the foot for an oiler, now there's the concept of ispashtus. The other opinion, who says we don't say ispashtus over there, says no. When you said the leg, you only had phase one. The leg should be a kedushas oiler. What'll be with it? I'll find somebody. Whatever. I'm not getting involved in the Beis Hamikdash part. That's part two. I'm just doing part one. I have a problem with part one. Okay, we'll figure something out. I never obligated myself to bring that leg for an oiler. That wasn't my obligation. My obligation was the leg should have kedushas oiler. I didn't obligate myself bechlal. I made a chalois. The leg should have a kedushas oiler. That's all. Now, because there's a shulchan aruch, I have a problem because the leg has kedushas oiler. What do? Fine. I find a solution. But I don't have a chiyuv mevi. And therefore, there's no espastus. But if I say avish an shamut liyuma, now already in svara we say that there's a chiyuv mevi on the whole animal. And that's the Shita Mekubetzes' debate, whether is that logical or is that actually based on the pasuk? That when it's a significant aver, it's like you're being makdish the animal, now you become a maybe. Now you're chayiv al maybe. But either way, I believe that the lomdus is the same according to all the tanoim. The lomdus is the same lomdus. His pashtus gets pushed as a default situation. Now, if that's the case, we have to know what's going on by the bird. But really, by the bird, the Gemara Shaila is the same Shaila. Do you become a maybe? Do you become a maybe? Or do we say that there's no din maybe? And if there's no din maybe, then there's no din of Hispashtus. It's all the same. Hispashtus always gets triggered by the fact that you have a chiv to facilitate the Kedusha. And Hispashtus comes in to complete that. And that's why the Gemara Kedushin tries to put it in as well. Because Ispashtus really is not so much a kutchim piece. The reason why it attaches itself in a significant way to Seder Kutchim is because by kutchim there's a concept mevi. There's a concept that when you say, normally, when you make a chalois, we don't say, well, now you have an obligation to facilitate step B. That's why Ispashtus is normally foreign to other areas, right? But when in Kachim, since both elements are there, so therefore, if there's a concept of maybe, that triggers an obligation for you to bring it for a carbon. Now you got to facilitate that. You can't bring a leg for a carbon. So therefore, the carbon becomes entirely Kachim. Okay. Well, that again, that's there is a debate. There is a debate in the Shita Mekubetzes whether this is logical or pasuk. It could just be that the machloikas is how to learn the Torah's obligation of maybe. Even if you say leg, you become a maybe, or only if how to learn those are the two psukim we brought at the beginning of the Gemara. How to learn those psukim. But even if you learn it's logical, I think there's a logical way to look at it too, and that is that when a person goes and says about a is he talking about a piece of meat? Or is he talking about the animal? Right? When you talk about an Avishan Shamat Liyaba, you're talking about the animal. You know what I mean? You're talking about the chefts of the behemoth. When we look at the behemoth as a behemoth, then the term mevi comes in. When a leg doesn't represent the behemoth. So in your concept of leg is more you being mechayev yourself meat. It's almost like it's a butcher shop. You mean mechayev yourself on a piece of meat. So I think it's not like there's no. It's almost, I look at it the other way. It's almost, we normally would always say that when you say I raise the oil, you have to bring an oil. Unless it was done in such a haphazard way that we go, 1 second, that's such an ill way of describing such an obligation. It's like if a guy went to a woman and he said, your etzba should be mekudeshes to me. The Gemara doesn't say over there to be his pastors. Why? Because it's not a significant enough statement to show any kind of kabbal sachrayas. That's, you know, so that's why I think is that would be the svara side of it. We'll stop here. That, whatever, we'll get there eventually, but next week, already starting next week, but I'll try to finish with that. Next week, I'll try to explain the Kedushas Dam in peace. That's a significant piece, but that'll take us just like 10, 15 minutes, then we'll start the next week.